Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Bless His holy name. I thank my God for allowing us once again to gather in His presence for the study of His holy word. And as always, let us begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, O Lord, for allowing this to transpire, for us to be able to come into your presence to study your word. We pray now, Lord, that your word will bless our hearts, open our minds, Father, conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless those and heal those who are sick. Father, bless those who are downtrodden. Lord, we ask that you might lead, guide, and direct our pathways, that everything we say and do might edify and glorify your name. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, we're in a study of the book of Acts. We're in chapter 7, and we've been going through this. And I need to just kind of say a little side note here. I hope and pray that no one thinks I'm coming to you as some kind of an expert, but I am just a fellow sojourner traveling along. And the book of Acts is a very special book to me. It's my way of looking. When I look and study the book of Acts, and I use it as a barometer to see how the church is going. My church has issues just like your church has issues. We are an imperfect people serving a perfect God. So therefore, many times we might get sidetracked. The ministry might get off track a little bit. But when we go into the book of Acts, we see that which is most satisfying to God. Amen. Amen. Now we've been in the seventh chapter, we've been going through the testimony, if you will, of Stephen, because he had been charged with blasphemy, and he's doing a self-defense. But rather than defending himself, he's actually recanting the nation of Israel's history. He's bringing about, he's retelling the nation of Israel's history. He is telling the ones that are charging him where they came from and how they got there. So let's pick this up about verse 39 in chapter 7. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them in their hearts, turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Now you can remember that account from the book of Genesis, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and he was gone for 40 days, the people down below said, well, we don't know what happened to Moses. Maybe perhaps God has done something to him. So they entreated Aaron, and Aaron caved in, and they made a golden calf. They began to backslide. They turned back to what they should have left behind. Amen. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in that same situation, or at least we have known some of our brethren to return to their old ways. Verse 42, then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your God, Rephram, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Now, the preacher's sermon outline Bible says there were several charges that were brought now against the people of Israel. Charge number one, it says the people, that is Israel, did not worship God, but they worshiped false gods. Now they brought these strange gods back into their worship, if you will. They did not trust God that had brought them and delivered them out of the land of Egypt. And it always reminds me of those times when we have poured our hearts out to individuals, sharing with them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they seem like they're coming along, and then all of a sudden when you look around, they return to their old ways. Well, that's such a sad occasion. Charge number two, the people, that is Israel, did not carry the tabernacle of God, but the The false gods say they were purporting to love God, but yet in essence, when they could not see the hand of God moving, when they didn't know what God was doing, when Moses was delayed up on the mount, they decided that, hey, we need these other gods. Charge number three, the people were inexcusable. Why? Because they were greatly blessed by God. God had performed miracles by the hand of Moses to show them the reality of himself, and yet instill in that short period of time, they had forgotten all that God had blessed them with. Let me read on in verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Joshua into the procession of the Gentiles whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. So God has shown himself as the deliverer. 46, verse 46. Who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob? But Solomon built him a house. Now David wanted to build a permanent house for the Lord, but the Lord chose not David because he said his hands was full of blood. He was a warrior, but he chose his son Solomon. Verse 48, howbeit the Most High God dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? So we can see now that Stephen is really starting to cut them to the quick. He is really starting to pronounce and announce those things that should be drawing their attention. Listen what happens. Verse 50. Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Now, I'm telling you, Stephen is under the unction of the Holy Spirit to pronounce those kinds of things because he is not interested in saving his own hide. He is only interested in proclaiming the word of God. And that shows us that we need to be bold with our witness, not brash with our witness, but bold with our witness. We need to be able to come and tell the truth in spite of sometimes the consequences. When somebody needs to hear the word of God and God taps us on the shoulder, we got to be prepared to give a testimony. Too many Christians today seem to cower under the fact that they can't tell anybody about their love of Jesus Christ. It's almost as if some are ashamed of God. Let me move on. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now the betrayers and murderers? Verse 53. Who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now this word cut to the heart means that they were stricken heavily. It was a heavy, heavy blow that they had taken. When they say gnashed their teeth, they were coming up on Stephen ready just to do him in right there on the spot. The fifth charge is the people of that present generation were resisting the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that draws us to God, and they should have been drawn to God by Stephen's testimony, but rather they resisted, and they were not resisting Stephen, but resisting the Holy Spirit. Amen? The people had persecuted, the sixth charge, all of the former prophets, because everything that the prophets prophesied about was unto the coming of the Messiah. They should have realized by their own holy word that they carried supposedly in their hearts, that they studied on a daily basis. They should have recognized Jesus as the Messiah, but they didn't. They rejected him because he did not fulfill their idea of what a leader should be for them. They were looking for somebody with a military background that was going to lead them out from underneath the Roman oppression. And here comes a carpenter's son. They did not accept Jesus as Messiah. Let me move on before we run out of time. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him of one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, I'm telling you that those last few verses of the seventh chapter really touched my heart. Here it is. We have Saul. Saul of Tarsus was now part of this action. He was gathering the cloaks as these men stood to stone Stephen. And here's Stephen now being stoned to death, but yet he's saying and praying, God, lay not this sin to their charge. He's asking them to forgive them. So Stephen, in essence, is a typology of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And here it is again now. The Spirit of God is living in Stephen and giving us the same testimony. And I tell you, that is a powerful testimony. When you can be before those who are about to take your life, and you can pray your last prayer as, Father, lay not this charge against them. That is a powerful, powerful testimony. Very powerful. Mark 7, verse 9 says, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Men are satisfied with what they have, and not so much what God has to offer. Ephesians 5, 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15 says, but if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it is against your fathers. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect the great salvation which was first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them? My brothers and sisters in Christ, it's time for me to wind this week's program down. I hope these last few sessions have really been a blessing to you, and I would encourage you to visit us at www.smbcmesa.org. That is our website, and come and stop in and worship with us. We'd be more than happy to have you come by and worship with us at 56 South Robson. But once again, pray for me as I pray for you, and tune in again next week as we continue on in our study of the book of Acts. God bless. See you next week.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school, 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.